Hey everybody, Flip Schultz here. Welcome to What's for Dinner, the fun podcast that I think is fun to do. Yes, we put the fun in fun podcast, whatever that might mean. Well, this podcast is a little late. Usually I try to upload a different podcast like around Monday or Tuesday of every week. I'm recording this on Saturday, so I'm almost 2 weeks, almost a week late for the last podcast. Whatever. It's February 18th. The reason I didn't do a podcast when I usually plan to is because I'm still in Scandinavia, and the last week was pretty hectic. I left Sweden, finished the Raw comedy tour from Sweden, and I've been in Norway for the past week doing some shows here. And it's been a lot of travel, not a lot of time to just kind of relax. And I also couldn't secure somebody to interview, which is always fun to do on podcasts, you know, to have somebody to bounce things off and, you know, to learn about. And I think it's interesting for me to learn about people that I really don't know or have only admired from a distance. And I think it's interesting for you, the audience, to hear that. So, again, I couldn't get anybody to interview, so I just said, well, fuck it, I'll skip a week. But then I felt lazy, to be honest with you. I felt lazy, because I'd always told myself for a long time, I want to do a podcast. I started doing one first with my friend David Nickerson, which was great, but after two episodes, he moved to St. Louis, so I kind of lost my partner. And then I've been doing it for did two of them from Sweden. But anyway, I don't need to give you a history of this podcast. My point is that I had something that I had wanted to do, and I was doing it. And then this first little hiccup happened, and I just said, okay, well, I won't do it this week. And you know what? That's not the right attitude. The right attitude is like, hey, I have a commitment. Even if nobody listens to this, it's a commitment to myself. It's a commitment to a promise that I made myself, which is this is something I want to do. So I figured this is my last night in Scandinavia after pretty much a month-long tour. And even though I have nobody here to talk to except for myself, let me just vomit up my feelings. Excuse me. Regurgitate my feelings and thoughts about this past month and what it really means, like, to literally to be here right now. I mean, I'm looking out my window in Oslo right now. I'm in Oslo, Norway. I'm looking out the window of my hotel, and it is very bleak and gray. Like, I actually, based on this trip, I've come up with a joke, which is that, excuse me, it's winter here in Scandinavia. And the weather, it does get nice as far as the sun coming out, but more times than not, it seems to be a very just cold, gray weather. And the joke is, after all this, you know, just walking around in all this gray weather, I seem to have developed a depressing Russian accent. So, like, I talk to my mom on the phone, and she's like, hey, how's Sweden?
I want to die.
Sweden or Norway, depending on where I'm doing the joke. Because it seems in Scandinavia, it's always gray. this cough is fucking sucks. For the past week since I've been in Norway, I've developed a cough, and it's a little hard for me to breathe. I have asthma, so my theory is that I'm somehow in a higher altitude in Oslo, as opposed to being in Sweden. That's just a theory. To be honest, I haven't looked at a map to see if Oslo is in a higher geographical place than Stockholm and the other cities I toured in Sweden. Maybe I'm just getting sick and I'm trying to think of an excuse. Whatever. But like I said, I'm looking out my window right now, and it's kind of fucked up. But like, it really doesn't register to me that I'm in Norway doing comedy. Like, my life has led me to this point, to where I'm doing comedy in Norway and Sweden, to where these clubs and these companies flew me out, paying for me to stay here and paying me money to do comedy. That's insane. I mean, it really is. When I think back at my life, you know, my life up till now, I've been wanting to be a comedian since I was a kid. Since I was, and I don't mean like I was 17 and I started watching Comedy Central. I mean, I was like, God, 6, 7 years old when I first saw Robin Williams do comedy on TV. And I remember just laughing and being amazed and mesmerized by this person, by somebody who had all this attention on him, and he was funny, and he was saying funny things. And of course, I didn't understand half of the jokes, but... Oh, wait. I am getting a video FaceTime call from my brother. I'm going to pause this little thing for a second.
Okay, I'm back.
Sorry, when family calls, even family trumps a promise I made to myself, especially when my gorgeous little niece is on the other end of a video call. But anyway, back to what I was saying. I saw Robin Williams on TV when I was a kid, and I just remember thinking, that's what I want to do. I want to make people laugh. And the first time I ever did comedy, I was 8 years old. And when I say I did comedy, I don't mean like I told a couple of jokes. I mean, I went on stage at a talent show in summer camp, and I had an act. It wasn't brilliant. It was silly. But I remember it having structure. I remember even at that first time, I said, I'm going to do my impressions. I'm going to sing a funny song. And that's what I did. And I ended up winning the talent show. Little 8-year-old kid doing comedy beat out like other kids who were doing like, you know, dance routines and bicycle tricks and things like that. And this little geek of a kid who did impressions and made people laugh won. And that's when I was hooked. So from that moment to almost 30 years later, I'm now in Scandinavia touring. It's unfucking believable. You know, lately I've always kind of believed in the whole, and some people might listen to this and, you know, get turned off by what I'm about to say. And if you are, that is totally your opinion, and you are welcome to it. And we obviously will disagree on this, but I'm a huge believer in the whole secret thing, the laws of attraction. I've always believed in it, but I've never, not never, but it's been difficult for me to stay on that path because life happens, you know? Life happens. You get pissed off, you get stressed, you get worried. And, you know, those things are quote unquote negating the laws of attraction because you think that and you feel that and you worry and you're going to bring that into your life. And lately I've been more focused on the worry than on focusing on positive things. And I'm over the past week, not even that long, I've really made concerted effort to just stop worrying and to just think positive. And when negative things come my way, I let them come. I let it affect me for whatever little time I'll give it, and then back to a positive place. And one of the tenement, that's not the word, one of the, I guess, rules of laws of attraction just is that if you manifest it, it will come true. And I'm living proof that that's true because, again, since I was 8 years old, I wanted to be a comedian. And now, not only am I a comedian, knock on wood, I'm a successful comedian. You know, I might not have a TV show or, hell, I might not even have a Comedy Central special yet, but I'm working. I support myself strictly doing comedy. And right now I support, you know, my girl as well, Allison. just because that's a whole other story. But my my fiance Allison, she's got a she needs surgery, which she's getting very soon. But in the meantime, she just can't work. But my point is, I'm able to support myself and the woman I love strictly through comedy. That's a success. And that's all just from knowing that this is what I was meant to do. What I need to do now is keep this momentum going. Just keep going. Keep focusing. Keep knowing. Doubt is the worst thing, man. We all experience doubt. Everybody. Everybody has doubt creep in them. I bet even Tony Robbins, living in his, you know, his ogre-like mansion. I say that because he's like, what is he, 8'13" or something. But I'm sure even Tony Robbins, the world's most famous motivational speaker, has doubt. That's a human quality. It's a human trait, which is why that even though I believe in laws of attraction, I'm only human, as anybody is. So these negative emotions, they're normal. They're natural. They're allowed to come. But then you got to just let it pass and focus back on the positive and focus on the, okay, maybe there's a problem that happens. Don't stress about the problem, because stressing over a problem doesn't solve the problem. It just makes the problem, it makes it seem bigger and feel bigger. And a lot of times it just makes the problem bigger. Because more stress, because you stress and you just bring stress back to you. But if a problem comes up, you go, okay, fuck, there's a problem. Okay, what's the problem? Here's a problem. Okay, what are the solutions to the problem? Because every problem has a solution. I think, yeah, there every problem, some solutions might be a lot more drastic or cost more money or whatever, but there is a solution. So that's what I got to try to remember to do. I really have to let go of all that bullshit that fucking weighs me down, man. And I'm sure a lot of you have that too. But anyway, God, I go on tangents a lot. So this is what's interesting for me doing this one episode by myself. Is I might start on a point and end up somewhere completely different. So bear with me, home listeners. But coming back to the original point of doing this solo podcast was just to recap this month. So to start, the Raw Comedy Tour in Sweden. First of all, much love and thanks to the incredibly talented comics that I got to share the stage with and to share the 2-week tour with. Forgive me, comics, if they're listening, because I never really got all of their last names, and maybe if I did, I don't remember them. I'm sorry, just being honest. But of course, I remember Morten Andersen, who is the founder of Raw Comedy and an incredibly funny, nice, and fun person to be around. So thank you to Morten and Kojo Alcalar. Okay, Alcalar? Kojo Alcalar? Alcalar? I don't know how. Coughing! Kojo, who became like my tour buddy. We hung out a lot. And again, another nice, creative, funny, fun guy to just be with. And then Mons Moller, I think his last name Moller, but Mons and Marika and Messiah, all incredibly funny, incredibly nice. Just all of the comics just made me feel very welcome, because it's hard to if you haven't experienced it, really hard to kind of put into words what it's like to be not just in a foreign country, but to be around with a group of people and you're the only foreigner. You know, luckily they all speak English, but there were times, and it's natural, that they just went into Swedish, just talking in Swedish and laughing and everything. And you know, you as an outsider, as a foreigner, you just kind of shut up, nod your head, maybe try to understand what they're saying, but end up just listening to music or reading And they and a lot of times they sensed that and they apologized and they went to English. And there was no need. I mean, personally, I don't feel there's really any need to, you know. They're friends. I'm in their country. Please don't do too much to change what you would naturally do because of me. But they were very sweet and, like I said, made me feel like I was part of the gang. And Richard, our amazing tour manager, thank you so much. All the people from Mr. Green and all the audiences we performed in front of. I'm trying to see if I can remember all the towns we did. I'm sure I'm going to miss some, but I know we did 11. I think we did 10 or 11 towns. So thank you to Stockholm, Linköping, Jönköping, Västerås, Eskilstuna, Gothenburg, Göteborg. Örebro. Damn it. Fuck, I knew I was going to forget some of these. That's seven. There were at least three more. Oh, God, please don't take it personally if you live in a town that I forgot. They're just towns I'm not familiar with as far as names. Damn it. Oh, crap. Sorry. I know I'm forgetting a few. Sorry. But all the towns were so much fun. Great shows. Just a blast. Halmstad. There's another one. Halmstad. Haha. At least two more that I can't remember. Thank you to the wonderful audiences there. It was really a fun tour. Travel was a little awkward at first. They got us a limo, which sounds great in theory. And, you know, if you're with a group of people and you get in a limo and you drive, like, from your hotel to a club or, you know, they pick you up at your house and then you go out to a club or whatever and you're in the limo for, you know, 20 to 30 minutes. It's fun, you know, drinking and talking. But the first drive from Stockholm to Halmstad, we had 5 hours in that limo and there were five of us in the back. And it got very uncomfortable. There were only two seats that faced forward and then like a bench that went around the rest of the car that three of us had to share with no leg room. It was just very uncomfortable. So after a couple of days of that, including me getting car sick, almost vomiting, we switched out and drove in a van, which was much better. And speaking of vomiting, I am not a partier. I think this is a this trip definitely proved it. If you've seen my act or if you read my blog, you know that I'm a proponent for the legalization of marijuana, specifically medical marijuana. I live in California where it is legal with a prescription, which I do have. Allison, my partner, she works at a medical marijuana dispensary. So it is definitely a part of our lives. I advocate it, support it as far as just in the way that I know it helps people with medical conditions. And let's be honest, it's fun to just relax with it every so often just for pure relaxation, almost the same way somebody would have a glass of wine or a couple of beers just to wind down. Marijuana is the same thing. It's actually less dangerous. I'm not going to get into all that. But anyway, that is my preferred way to relax. Now, obviously, I don't have any marijuana over here in Scandinavia. Would never dream of traveling with it. And even if I did receive any here, which I'm not saying I did, I wouldn't mention that either on this. Maybe I did receive some. Maybe I didn't. I didn't. Honestly, I can't smoke it. You hear my cough. I have asthma. I would never smoke it. If I ever have it, I ingest it. I eat it. Which, obviously, I didn't bring here either. Not going to pack my suitcase with brownies. Little suspicious. My point is, I'm not a big drinker. After a show, maybe sometimes I'll have a beer, maybe a shot. That's usually it. This stems back from when I was in Sweden 3 years ago, touring with Pablo Francisco. I was in Gothenburg. I ended up going out one night with a bunch of the comics. We had shots, we had champagne, we had beer. Ended up going back to my hotel room. The room was spinning. It's one of those drunk nights where the room is literally spinning. you're sitting still and you're dizzy. You feel like you're on a ride that just won't stop. And the only way the room would stop spinning is if I sat up in bed and put my head between my legs. And I remember thinking, there's no fucking way I could sleep like this. This is stupid. So I went in the bathroom and I forced myself to throw up. Which anybody who's ever been that drunk or anorexic knows how uncomfortable, annoying, and kind of just sad that is, really. You know? So since then, I have been very careful of how much I drink and what I drink. Cut to this tour. Damn it, I forgot the town that we were in when this happened. But, again, after one of the shows, it was a great show, I was in a great mood, I said, fuck it, let's just have fun. So we were in the limo, and we had some champagne in the limo. Okay, cool. We get to this bar slash club. I buy a bunch of shamas, some shots, this shot called Fisherman's, which I don't know, it tastes like licorice with a kick. Kickerish. Sure, kickerish. And it was fine. That should have been it. Well, let's have a beer. All right, let's have a beer. So I'm drinking a beer, and then another shot comes my way of Fisherman's. At this point, I'm way over the limit. I should stop. And I'm trying to drink as much water as I can, because that's a nice trick. For every drink you have, you drink a glass of water so you can piss a lot of that out of you so you don't have the alcohol in your system that long and you're not, hopefully won't get hungover. So I was trying to regulate it, but at this point I knew I was being stupid. But, I mean, it's not an excuse, but, excuse me. But when you're drunk, and when you're drinking, you really don't, well, you don't think, as a cliche goes. So, I'm saying to myself, okay, no more, no more. But then, lo and behold, who was at the bar? Some fans from the show, these guys. And they're like, dude, we bought you a shot. And that's when something interesting happens to me. That's when the debate between the adult and the teenager in my head starts. The adult, of course, is saying, Flip, you can't do this. You're not a kid anymore. Even when you were a kid, you couldn't do this. You don't have to prove anything. Just say no. It's okay. You've had too much already. This is just going to make it worse. And then the teenager goes, fuck it, man. You're on tour. You're in Sweden. You're a comedian. These are fans who liked your show that much. They're buying you a shot. Don't be a fucking pussy. Just do it. Do it. You're cool. Show them how cool you are. And of course, that teenager wins. Because the adult suddenly goes, well, yeah, I am cool. All right, let's do it. So these guys give me this shot. The name should have turned me off already, but the name was called a flatliner, or a flatline. The shot, and I found this out after I did it, is Sambuca, tequila, and Tabasco. Yeah, it sounds delicious. The Tabasco actually sits in the bottom of the shot glass, basically like a flat line. Hence, part of the name. I think the other reason is you wish you were dead after you did it. So I did the shot. It was disgusting, my lips were burning, and about 5 minutes after that, it all started again. That drunk feeling. I think it wasn't soon after that I left the club, went back to my hotel, and I was video chatting with Allison, and this seems to always happen. Whenever your significant other wants to talk to you about something serious, you just can't. For whatever reason, you're distracted, you're just not in the mindset, or in my case, you're fucking drunk off your ass. So she's trying to talk to me about the serious shit, and I'm just like, So she just said to me, oh, just go fucking make yourself throw up. Just go throw up, you'll feel better. I didn't want to. I so didn't want to, but I knew that was the only way that I was going to feel better. So I go in the bathroom and I do that typical cliche thing, you know, just sitting on the bathroom tile, hunched over the toilet, finger and down the throat, trying to make it happen. And I just saw myself in the mirror. And I just, ugh. It was one of those out-of-body experiences where you see yourself and you're just so disappointed in yourself and you're chastising yourself like a parent. But I made it happen. It took a long time to actually make myself throw up, but I did, and I felt better. Of course, the next day I was not necessarily hungover, just tired and just not feeling balanced. And since then, on this tour, I have maybe had, so I'm talking about since the rest of the tour in Sweden and in Norway, I've probably had 3 drinks. That's it. Last night, one of the comics on the shows here in Oslo bought all the comics a round of shots. I felt so bad. I couldn't do it. I told her, I said, it's so sweet, but I can't. I just can't. And I felt bad, but I'm not going to, I can't try to pretend that I can handle it anymore. And I don't want to. Who wants that? Yeah, it's fun, you know, when it's happening, when you're drinking and socializing, but the afterwards is so not worth it. I don't know anybody who would put that afterwards saying, yeah, it's a nice payoff for the first part. It'd be better if when you drink, you start off with the nausea and hangover, and then it ends with the fun drunk. That'd be great. Oh, how much fun would that be? Like, yeah, I just drank a beer. I feel like shit. Then 10 minutes later, fuck yeah, man, this is great. And then you go to sleep just feeling great. Yeah. Reverse alcoholism. Well, that's something. That's something I think technology and science should start developing. My point is, I can't do it anymore. I can't overdo it. Again, 1 or 2 beers, maybe a shot. Or for me, if I'm going to drink liquor, it'll be Jack or Jim Beam and soda water, whiskey and soda. But that's it. No more. I know my limits, and I'm fine with it. Again, I'd rather just, you know, have some marijuana. No hangover. No, the thing that marijuana does, it makes me sleep. I have a great night's sleep. So, but, you know, generally I tend to sleep later than I normally would. But I'd rather just sleep late. Maybe wake up at 11 as opposed to 9:30 or 9, which I know to most people out there is sleeping late anyway. Rather than, you know, waking up at like 9:30 or 10 o'clock with a horrible hangover. And then staying in bed till 2 anyway. So it's, for me, marijuana's just the way. But again, Sweden was a great tour, with the exception of that night. I apologize for the coughing. I really do. Sounds healthy, doesn't it? So yes, so now I'm in Norway. I've been here for since Monday, and it's Saturday now, so almost a week. I've had two shows in Oslo at Latter Comedy Club. Tuesday was very nice. It was a full house. Very nice. Felt like a Tuesday night crowd, you know? Again, very nice. They laughed, but they weren't strong laughers. It was just quick laughs. Ha ha ha. Ha ha ha. Ha 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 ha. Again, not horrible. Not saying that at all, but not long, strong laughers. But again, it's Tuesday. Then Wednesday, I flew to a town called Bergen, where I did a show at Rick's, which is also stand-up Bergen. Wasn't a full crowd, again. Not again, I'm sorry. Wasn't a full crowd, but again, they were really nice. Very nice audience, nice room, very fun. Comics, very, very nice. And then I had Wednesday off, and I'm sorry, Thursday off. And then last night, had another show at Latter here in Oslo, and it was fan-fucking-tastic. It was so good. And tonight I have my last show at Latter. Matter of fact, I've got to, I got a little time before that happens. Although I do have to start getting ready. Actually, something interesting happened last night. I'll tell you what happened. I won't say any names because I don't want I don't want to say any names. But there was a comic who did a guest spot. He wasn't from Scandinavia. He was from North America. And he was gay, very openly gay. And nice guy. Enjoyed talking to him. He went on stage, and I made a point to watch him because he's the only comic I understand. That's the other thing about doing these tour for a month. There's all these great comics going on stage, and I know they're funny because we talk off stage, and you know we make each other laugh, and the audience laughs at them, but I don't understand a single word any of them are saying. So I feel like, you know, kind of, you know, obviously I'm missing something, and it sucks. So when this comic was doing a guest spot, I was like, he's speaking English, I can understand him. That I'll be entertained. And he had a great set. He did 5 minutes. And it was funny. But in his five-minute act, he won on stage. His character is a very flamboyant gay person. That's just what he's playing. His opening line, he goes like, hey, you bitches, you sexy bitches. I mean, he's just playing up the gay card. And that's fine. I'm not saying, you know, not anything against his act, his comedy. That's who he wants to be. That's fine. And it worked. The audience liked it. They actually, I think they loved it. They gave him a lot of applause breaks on a five-minute set. But in the five-minute set, 80% of his act was in some way, shape, or form referencing the gay thing. Either talking about himself being gay, talking to a guy in the crowd, just saying how, I mean, in blatant terms, how he's attracted to him. I think one of his lines was, you are a tall drink of water, and I want to swallow every drop of you. Very funny line, but again, playing the gay card. And again, not the whole act, not his whole 5 minutes was about gay, but a good 80% of it was. And it was funny. So I go up about an hour later, I'm closing the show, and I see the guy that he was talking to, and I said, oh, you're the guy that so-and-so was talking about, and then I started to go into a gay character myself. Because I saw the guy, it reminded me of the act that this other comedian had. So I just kind of went with the moment. And I was impersonating the comic. But I was essentially just doing a flamboyant gay character. Which, I mean, a lot of comedians and actors tend to do. I mean, off the top of my head, Mario Cantone, very funny actor and comedian, plays the flamboyant gay character. You've seen Sex and the City, you know exactly what I'm talking about. So I just did my own flamboyant gay character that I that whenever I do in my act, that's what comes out. Pardon the pun, ba-dum-bum-ching. So anyway, I referenced him and the character a couple times in the act. I did a lot of crowd work with this one guy, and again within that crowd work, I referenced the other comic a few times. Always saying, you know, very funny guy, which he was. So after the show, and it was, it was a really great show. So after the show, a bunch of the comics were sitting around having a drink, and I get up to go to the green room for something, go to the green room to get something, and the comedian, the gay one, comes up to me, and I only say gay one because I need to specify, or the one from North America, the non-Scandinavian one. He comes up to me and basically asks why I did that. And basically saying that it came off, or he took it as a mocking thing and as homophobic. And I was really taken aback, you know? Because anybody who knows me knows that the last thing I ever am is homophobic or racist or anything like that. Some of my best friends are gay. Allison has a lot of gay friends who've become some of my good, really, really good friends. I have nothing against that. I'm always an outspoken advocate for equality with anybody. I mean, love is love. Doesn't matter who you love or who you are. Just be happy. Who cares? Be happy. Doesn't hurt me if you're gay or black or Mexican or Muslim or Jewish or Catholic or whatever. Even KKK people, I don't agree with what they do. I think it's incredibly wrong, but that's what they want to do with their lives. You know, I'll debate them, but I can't change their mind and whatever. That might have been a really poor example, but you know what I mean. It's not my business. Not my business. It doesn't hurt me if you're gay or whatever. So he went on and on about this, and I was just like, well, that was not my intention. And you know, you got to understand, you go up there and you play a very flamboyant character. It's memorable. And I told him, like, a moment happened. I went with it. I referenced you because you yourself had referenced this guy. And I also said, like, if comics go up on stage and reference another comic, it's almost like an honor. It's like they're kind of like giving you that, like, that hug, going, yeah, I liked what you did, and you know, I'm reminding the audience about you. Like, I remember this show. I remember the first time I ever met Larry the Cable Guy. I was actually showcasing for Side Splitters Comedy Club in Tampa, Florida, which is one of my favorite clubs in the world to play. And my very first time, not even working there, just going up to audition, Larry the Cable Guy was headlining. And this is long before Larry was the star that he is now. He was just a touring club comic. The room wasn't even full. This is how long ago. This is how, like, Larry was still an unknown comic then. So he sees my act, you know, and I did well. And then Larry goes on stage and goes, hey, let's hear it for Flip Schultz. Hey, he's pretty funny there for a Jew. I'm just kidding. Lord, I apologize. And I didn't go, well, what the fuck's you talking about, a Jew? What was that anti-Semitic bullshit? I laughed. I'm like, oh, that's so cool. He referenced me. Ah, that's it. First time I met. You know, I'd worked with him since, a couple times since. And I never had any ill will toward him. It was always very friendly. It's what comics do. That's what comics do. And this comic last night was just taking it so personal. And part of me understands. I mean, I can't in any way imagine what it's like to be gay or black or Muslim or a woman. I got, you know, yeah, I'm Jewish, but it's cliche to say. I could hide being Jewish. Nobody knows. Nobody looks at me and goes, fucking Jew. You know, I don't look Jewish. I don't sound, you know, when I say sound Jewish, I mean, I don't sound, hey, what are you doing? Blah, 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 blah. You know what I mean? So I'm not saying that I understand what it's like to be, again, gay, Muslim, black, Indian, whatever, to be something that you can't hide, essentially. Or to be quote unquote different and have to hide that, or to come out as being different and deal with all the hate and the homophobia or racism or sexism. I can't imagine to understand any of that. So I'm sure that this comic has experienced a lot of that, you know, maybe where he's from or within the comedy community or from audiences. So I could see why he would be hypersensitive to anything that seems to be mocking him. And when I told him that, and I said, look, I understand what you're saying, but look at it now as a comedian, not as a gay man, as a comedian. If you're on stage and a moment happens, you go with it. And I think he even said something like, well, did you think what was going on was funny? And I said, yeah, it was. Keep in mind, people, I wasn't making fun of him. I wasn't going, oh, look at me, I'm fucking gay. I'm trying to remember what I said. I think the first thing I said was what if he wasn't gay? What if he was straight, but he just talked like that? You know, like, oh my God, I love tits and pussy. I want to fuck some pussy. I wasn't making fun of him. I was doing, it's actually an offshoot of the Dana Carvey character from Saturday Night Live. Lyle the effeminate heterosexual, which is a brilliant sketch in itself, which is pretty much what I was doing, an effeminate heterosexual, just extremely effeminate and extremely heterosexual. And also a comedian friend of mine, Jeff Richards, has a bit that he does, which is essentially the same thing that I did, He had it first. I'm not saying that he took it from me. If anything, I borrowed it for this moment I did on stage, and I'm giving him props and credit. But Jeff Richards has a bit he does where he says he has a friend who's gay, but he won't admit it. But he says, like, I just want to go eat some titties. Something along those lines. It's a very funny bit. So that's pretty much what I did when I first got up there. It wasn't making fun of him. It was like an observation and just a silly idea. And then when I noticed the guy that he was referencing in his act as far as being attracted to, I'm trying to remember what I think the guy's name was Marius, very good sport. And I am Marius. And then I said, and the other comic is in the back going, marry me. And again, that was just referencing what he had already said on stage, which is he's attracted to him. So again, I feel like I'm defending my – well, I guess I am defending myself because I was hurt and insulted that somebody that I don't – excuse me. Somebody that I don't know would make that judgment on me. And somebody that doesn't know me would make that judgment on me. So I guess I'm doing this to kind of clear the air for myself. And if this comic happens to ever listen to this – and by the way, we ended on very good terms. We hugged it out. I think he needed to get this off his chest, which is fine. And he made his point. I made my point. We understand where each other was coming from. And again, I could – and again – imagining what he must have gone through in his life, I can see why he was hypersensitive. I guess I'm just doing this again to clear my own conscience. But anyway, it was still a great night, and tonight I'm very excited because it's Saturday, which is always a great comedy night, and it's my last show. The last show. It's so weird. I don't... Anybody who tours, not just as a comic or maybe a musician, a dancer, maybe somebody in business who travels a lot for business, whatever, they'll know what I'm talking about when I say that I have forgotten what my own fucking apartment looks like, really. What it feels like to be there. What it feels like to be in my own bed next to my Allison. Next to my woman. It just... It's so exhausting traveling. And don't get me wrong. In this job, that's the only downside, is the exhaustion from traveling and sometimes the boredom. But the upside is much greater. But like on this tour, I guess I've slept in about 17 different beds on this tour. 17 different beds. That means 17 times I had to unpack, settle down, repack, leave, travel to another place, and do that same process 17 fucking times in 1 month. In 1 month. It gets dizzying. Like I said, I can't remember. I was in Sweden playing 11, you know, 10 or 11 cities. I couldn't remember all of them. There's still three I can't remember. Gävle. There's another one. Okay, so maybe one or two now I can't remember. Halmstad and Gävle were two that I just remembered. My point is, it's going to be so good to go home. My luggage is pretty much packed. There's a couple of things I got to do when I wake up tomorrow, just some last things to pack, but I'm done. That's one thing. I don't want to say I'm worried about, because worry is a bad emotion, or concern, none of that. The thing that I am going to be very aware of is getting sleep tonight. Because I have this problem. If I know I have to be up early, which I have to tomorrow, and for me early is 8 a.m. Again, I know to a lot of you, 8 a.m., you're already showered and on your way to work. That's totally fine. That's your life. You might not like it, but you're used to it. I am not. It's not what I usually do. Not that I'm trying to say that I'm better or whatever. It's not what I do. My work entails me to work late at night and sleep late during the day. So I have to get up at 8 tomorrow, and the show won't end till 11. And then I'll probably have a quick drink to kind of wind myself down. Then there's the adrenaline of the show. So normally, and then that, I normally don't fall asleep till 2 in the morning anyway, but coupled with the excitement of going home tomorrow, it might be difficult to fall asleep tonight. So I'm praying, not necessarily to God, because that's a whole other story, but I'm praying to the universe, to the energy, to the power of positivity and the power of attraction that I will sleep and have a good at least 7 hours of sleep tonight to carry me over to tomorrow, and then I will sleep on the plane for as much as I can. And then tomorrow at about 6:15 tomorrow night, I will be home. And I could not be more excited. And I want to thank everybody on this tour, on this trip, from the comedians that I've worked with in Sweden and here in Norway, to the amazing audiences, to the crew on the Swedish tour, to Wayne's Coffee for giving me a place to hang out while I was in Stockholm, to every place that we performed. It really has been great. And if you happen to have missed any of the shows, little birdie tells me that there's a good chance I'll be coming back to Scandinavia later this year. So keep a listen to the a listen or lookout on my website. So I think that's all I really wanted to say. Well, all I wanted to say and more. Yeah, this is an interesting first time doing a podcast by myself. I hope it turned out okay. I hope you guys enjoyed it. I mean, I know it's, I'd say it was boring, but it was just me rambling for about 45 minutes, which is interesting. I wasn't sure if I'd be able to do that. I'll be honest with you people. I wasn't sure if I could keep a momentum going, but it's funny. Once I've got that thing, once I start talking, even if I'm by myself, I just keep going. I think that's one of the things that makes me a good comic, is that I'm very good stream of conscious. And a lot of times, a lot of my material just comes out of a stream of conscious thought. Like that little thing I mentioned before about alcohol being reversed. Why can't you get drunk, like have the hangover first and then end the night being all drunk and happy? I'm not saying that will become a joke, but I think it's a very funny thought. So you never know. If in time you see my act and I do a joke about that, then you hear this podcast, you go, oh my God, that's where he first thought of that. Interesting. But anyway, my lovely friends, because you are all my friends, thank you for listening. And probably next week, since I'm returning tomorrow, Sunday, probably there will not be another podcast until maybe the middle of next week or so. But for those of you in the California area, next weekend, that is February 24th and 25th, that Friday and Saturday, I will be at the Improv at Fantasy Springs in Indio, California, that Friday and Saturday. And Allison and myself, along with some other comics, will be appearing at the San Luis Obispo Comedy Festival, which is in San Luis Obispo, California, the last week of February, first week of March, around there. And I will also be appearing later on this year in Vegas, in Tahoe. The end of March, I will be appearing as Skippy Green at the Skullfest Comedy Festival in Atlanta, Georgia. So definitely come by for that. That should be a whole lot of fun. And you can always check my dates out on my website, flipisfunny.com. And please, please, please review this podcast. Tell people you like it. And be my friend on Facebook, facebook.com/flipschultz, number 2. That's right, facebook.com/flipschultz is already filled up with 5,000 friends. Not trying to brag, I'm popular. So I had to start another page. And I do not neglect that page. I promise everything that goes on the first page goes on the second. Also, Twitter, Google+, any other new crap that comes out. I think I'm still even on MySpace, YouTube, all that fun shit. I've got CDs you can buy on iTunes or directly off the website, along with some DVDs. And that's it, people. Thank you again for listening. As always, you guys are wonderful. And from the bottom of my heart, thank you for all your support and love. And again, to Sweden and to Norway, tak, tak sumeke, tusen tak. And remember to wash the goo off of you. I love you guys. Talk to you later. Bye.